Zechariah chapter 9, starting from verse 1.
The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord.
Now here he's saying, all these countries you'll be learning, whole world is looking at Jerusalem right now. Jerusalem is the center of the world. And everyone's eyes in Jerusalem. If you see, a couple of weeks ago, when they had a fighting going on, whole world was trying to tell Israeli people, calm down and don't do it and this and that. So the whole world's eyes at Jerusalem right now. But the word of God says there will be time coming. The whole world will be looking at Jesus Christ, at his coming, because he will be coming as a glorious King of kings and Lord of lords. Every eye will see him. And the people who rejected him, they will be running for their life. And there will be destruction to those people. So he said the time is coming that the whole world will be looking at the Lord. Verse 2.
And Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire.
Now we learned last time how the Babylon will be thrown in the sea and burned with the fire. But there are so many other small countries. They are all the enemies of the Israeli people. So the word of God says right now they have silver and gold and so much richness they have. But the time will come, their silver and their gold will not save them. The silver and gold will be destroyed and these countries will be burned in fire. Okay, verse 5.
Ashkelon shall see it and fear, Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful, and Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed, and the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited.
Can you imagine? Long time ago there was no Gaza, and Gaza was not bordering to Israel, but the Lord knew what the Gaza will be bordering to Israel, but the time will come. The Gaza will be destroyed. Now the 50% is destroyed right now. And I don't know their leaders are dead or not, because they are not telling who are the leaders are dead or not. But here is saying, because these people had the kings. So he says, those kings of Gaza and the leader of the Gaza will be destroyed. Verse 6.
And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines.
They'll be, he says, the pride of the Philistines will be cut off. And the time is coming. All these people are bragging about their wealth and their power and their missiles and their nuclear weapons. But the time will come and that God is going to destroy all of these people. Now, there are so many verses I can prove to you from the Word of God. And we'll read some of them, and some of them we will just give the reference. Go to the book of Amos. We studied that book very well. Book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. See, all these nations' name, you will be seeing it.
The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity, to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof.
Can you imagine? This fire came to Gaza a couple of weeks ago and destroyed them. Okay.
And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with a sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire on the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord.
See, all of this punishment, God said all long time ago, some of them are fulfilled, some of them are going to fulfill. Now, book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, verses 23 and 24. Isaiah chapter 23, full chapter you can read. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 13 to 17. All of these verses, when you read, you will know God has already told, not one time, but time and time again, all these enemies of Israel, they are going to be punished. They have now silver, they have gold, they have big, big buildings, they have big, big towers, they have big, big ships, and everything they have. But everything God is going to destroy. Zechariah chapter 9, starting from verse 7 and 8.
And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes.
Now here is saying this enemy, God is going to destroy, but some of them will survive. If you remember the time of Esther, you remember how these Israeli people were going to be killed, and God turned the table. And when Israeli people wanted to kill the enemies, some of the enemies said, no, 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 we want to be Israel. We want to join with you. The same thing is going to happen. So many people will be destroyed in Muslim area. But now, if you remember in Gaza, there are some Christian people are suffering. And in Muslim countries. So all these Muslim countries, people will be destroyed, but some of the people from those towns will survive. And the word of God says, I'll give them grace. They might be governors and they might be working in our kingdom. Just like he gave the grace to us. We are not the Israeli people. We are Gentiles. But Jesus Christ says, you will be kings and priests, and you will be ruling with me in the millennium kingdom. And so this is what God is saying. And not only said, God is saying, I will encamp all over you. And we already heard that he said, I'll make a firewall myself. So no one can touch you. No one can destroy you. I will take care of you because I have seen how these people treated you. So this time I'm going to be protecting you from all the dangers and harms. See, when we are Christians, we have the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. As soon as you are born again, child of God, if you read the Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it's the last verse. And it says, if you are born again, child of God, God sends the angelic spirits to protect you, to minister to you, to serve you. So many people are worshiping angels. Angels are not greater than us. The word of God says Jesus Christ also was created when he came to this world lower than angel. But when he died and rose again, now he is a greater than angel, and he made us a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. So now we are a new creation. That creation was not exist. That means the angel was not created glorious like us. Angel was given the glory outside glory, but we have glory inside out. The word of God says God has put the treasure in our heart. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living in us. Angels do not have this opportunity. God did not send Jesus Christ to redeem the angels, but he has redeemed us. So we are now greater than angel. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, the angels are looking into what the mankind has received. So we are greater. Don't worship the angel. Angel are the ministering spirit. God has given to us when you are born again, children of God. Okay, go back to the Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
Now, this scripture is fulfilled. But can you imagine 2,000 years ago, this scripture was there. Sadducees and Pharisees and the priest, everybody read this. But they did not understand. When Jesus Christ was riding and all the disciples and the people who got healed and delivered, thousands of millions of people following Jesus Christ, having the branches of the trees and palm trees and saying, Hosanna, save us, Lord, save us, Lord. And the Pharisees came and said, Jesus, do you know what these people are shouting? Stop them. They didn't understand what Jesus said. If I stop them, the stone will cry out because you did not understand my coming. And then he looked at the Jerusalem and started weeping. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to keep you under my wings, but you didn't understand. The time is coming. And he prophesied, all this temple and all, you see, not a single stone will be standing upon another stone. And you will be scattered around all the earth. And actually, the prophecy was fulfilled. So here these people are learned the prophecy. But when Jesus Christ riding on the donkey, and people were thinking he is the king and he will be the king. And if you read in this John's gospel, many people tried to force him to be the king. But he said, my kingdom of not this world at particular time. But the time will come. Jesus Christ was preparing the people for his kingdom. His kingdom has to start in our heart first. And then we will be ruling with him forever. So here this prophecy fulfilled. And still people did not understand. Still Israeli people do not know this prophecy. But we know this prophecy is fulfilled. Because Matthew says, Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, he said, this prophecy fulfilled in front of our eyes. And so, Zechariah, if you keep on reading, Zechariah tells so many things about Jesus Christ. But their eyes were blinded. Their ears were deaf. They could not understand the prophecy. But you will be studying as we study this book of Zechariah. People will come to know that he is the Messiah. He is the one we crucified. And they will be crying and weeping as the Jesus Christ comes. And the word of God says the whole nation, the remnant, will be saved. Okay, go back to the Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10.
And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth.
Now he is saying what God is going to do. He says, I'll take the chariots and all the military equipment from the Israeli people. Some people were thinking he's making them disable or something. But he said, now you don't have to fight. I am going to fight. You remember what we learned, the message to the Zerubbabel? Not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. God is going to battle. Our strength, our power is nothing in front of God. All these missiles, all this power of Russia or power of Iran or power of Muslim countries is nothing in the sight of God. All these Pakistani people have the nuclear weapon. India has the nuclear weapon. And Iran is making nuclear weapon. Russia already has the nuclear weapon. And many other countries, they have it. But God is not shaking. God is not afraid. God is not saying, what I'm going to do? All these people have the missiles. God says, I'll fight for you. I'll take your all these weapons. You don't need any wars of weapons. You will be taking those weapons and use it for the farm and a garden. But I will fight for you. And that's the prophecy is coming. The worldly people do not know this. The Israeli people, some of them, they don't know this. But if they read this, you will be comforting that one day will come and God will destroy every enemy of Israel. Not a single enemy will be surviving. And we already read some of them in the book of Amos, and I already gave some scriptures when you go home and study them. So there is nothing to be afraid, nothing to be worried about. What the Iran making is weapon of destructions and things like that. Don't worry. For God will fight for Israeli people. He says, you know, take your weapons, destroy your weapons, say peace to the other people, be nice with other Gentiles. Tell them my God is going to take care of us. And so time is coming and the Israeli nations will be blessed. Verse 11.
As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water.
Now, this verse is a little bit difficult to understand, but it's very plain. I'll give a couple of examples. When God says to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now, let's read a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 to 13.
And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you.
Now, this was the covenant God made with Israeli people, and he said, this is the everlasting covenant. Abraham and fulfilled his promises that I will do what you say. And when the Ishmael, not only Ishmael, when the Isaac was born, he obeyed that commandment and circumcised Isaac. So it was the blood covenant in their flesh. And then later on, God told Moses, go to the book of Exodus chapter 24, verses 6 to 8.
And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.
So here we see Moses took the blood of the bulls and goats and sprinkle on the people and the books of the covenant. And this is the way God made the covenant with the Israeli people. Then he says in the book of Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Now he says that covenant is too old. I'm going to change it and I'm going to make a new covenant.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more.
This is the new covenant God is going to make with the children of Israel. But thank God when Jesus Christ came, and as you know, in the last Lord's Supper, he gave it to his disciples. That is in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. Please read. And here he's saying, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my flesh. And when he took the cup, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Please read.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
This is the new covenant God already made with us. But the Israeli people are still waiting for that covenant. Because we believe the blood of Jesus Christ is all sufficient. And Jesus Christ made the covenant with his pure blood, a holy blood, innocent blood. And it is done. But for Israeli people, they are still waiting. But the word of God says, because of the blood covenant, I am going to redeem your prisoners from the pit. And if you remember, Jacob's children wanted to kill his son Joseph, and they put it in a dry pit. But God took him out and made him a prime minister. Why? He says, because of the blood covenant. I am keeping the covenant. I did not want his grandchildren or his children to be destroyed, because I made a covenant that I'm going to rescue these people. Even the prisoners will be set free. And if you remember when Jesus Christ came, and if you read the book of Luke chapter 4, starting from verse 18, John the Baptist started thinking. This is in the Old Testament, also Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, but we are reading in the New Testament. John the Baptist was in prison, and he started thinking, Jesus Christ came to redeem the prisoner. Please read.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
You have to read further, but we are going to stop here. He says, God sent me here to give liberty to people, set them free. And John the Baptist sitting in a prison, and he said, why Jesus Christ is not setting me free? If you read the St. John chapter 1, and verse 29, he said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And he testified. He said, I didn't know, but I saw the Spirit of God coming upon him. And now I know he is the one going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But when he was in prison, you have to read in Matthew chapter 11. I don't have time. But he sends his two disciples, and he says, ask Jesus, are you the one? Or we should look for somebody else. Jesus says, go and tell the John the Baptist what you see. The blinds are seeing and lames are walking and miracles are happening. And they came back and said, John, he's the one. And John was maybe repenting and said, Lord, I am ready to give my life. I should be decreased and he should be increased. So the point I'm making, if you remember when this Gaza and the Israeli people were fighting, so many Israeli soldiers are kidnapped and they are in prison. We don't know where they are keeping. The word of God says, don't worry, we have the blood covenant, and I am going to redeem you and get you out of the prison. Okay, let's go back to the Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 13.
When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day, as the flock of his people, For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land.
See, here the word of God is saying, now all these enemies trying to destroy you, but the time is coming, I am going to destroy every one of them. And what I'm going to do you, because I am with you, you will be destroying those people very easy, just like a David took a sling and killed the Goliath. He says, you don't need the weapons. You remember earlier he says, take your weapons and put the weapons away. You don't need anything. I will be fighting for you, and I will be giving you grace to defeat your enemy, because I will be among you. I'll be in the midst of you. I'll be in the Jerusalem. And you remember last couple of chapters we read last time, he says, you are closing your ears and not listening, and you are like those stones, round stone, do not get the water in it. But today he says, now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that stone. It's not an ordinary stone. I will make you the precious stone and put it in the crown. These Israeli people were not listening, and they were in the river like a stone and do not understand anything. But he said, time has come. I am going to put you in my crown, and you will be shining like a jewels. And the whole world is going to see the Israeli people are lifted up. Okay, look, go back to the Zechariah chapter 9 and read the following two verses. 16.
And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land.
Now see, God is saying, I will give you glory, and people we are going to see. Just read the Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 3.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God.
See, God is going to make this people a glorious people, shining in the crown like a jewel. And the whole world is going to see the Israeli people is the crown jewel of God. It's not the ordinary people. People are kicking them around. But the time is coming. God is going to lift them up. And verse 17, Zechariah 9:17.
For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids.
Now he's saying, how great is the God's goodness and God's glory. He's trying to say, if the people who drink the wine and how they get so joyful, and the people have stomach full food, and they get so much happy and joyful. If you don't have a food in your stomach, you are grouchy, you are fighting. But if you are satisfied with a good food and good drink, you will be rejoicing. Because here the word of God says, now the God's goodness and beauty and grace and mercy you will see, because you will be satisfied with this good food and good drink, and you will be glorifying God. Let's read the Psalm 45 verse 1 to 17. That shows you everything, how people will be happy and joyful and rejoicing. We can read a few verses. We don't have time.
My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Fairer than the children of men, grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever.
Okay, rest of the things you can read. God has blessed the children of Israel, so they will be praising and glorifying God and thanking God what God has done. Now let's go to the book of Zechariah chapter 10, starting from verse 1.
Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field.
Now here is saying, ask the Lord for rain. Do you know sometimes when the rain is not coming, these Indian people get the drum beating and start saying, give us a rain, give us a rain. But the word of God says rain only come when you listen to God. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 13 to 15.
And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full.
Here the word of God is saying, when you listen to God, obey God, God will send the rain. And in this Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 is saying, even the cloud will look white. No white cloud brings rain. But it says, cloud will look white, but I will pour the rain in the due time. And I'll send the dew, and you will have enough. Because God is the one who makes the rain. There's people, they have the idea, you know, the water evaporates and they pour up and then make the cloud and then cloud brings the water. This is just the theory. In the time of Noah, where the water came? In that time, they said there was no rain. They never heard the word rain. But God opened the heavenly windows and poured out. And deep down, he started water coming from down, coming from up. And so God is the able to make rain. Why the rain doesn't come to some countries and some states? The sin is too much. People have to repent and say, Lord, give us the rain. And when we humble ourselves and listen to the word of God, God does give rain, and rain brings the prosperity. Okay, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2.
For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd.
See what happened. Israeli people, they were doing divination. They were doing witchcraft. They were doing all kinds of idol worship. And they were like a blinded, and they were doing all kinds of things. So the Lord says, you are leading my people like a bad shepherd. There was no shepherd leading the children of Israel because of their divination, because of their idol worship. Let's read a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 9 and 10.
Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish.
See, this is what they were doing. They say, we got a dream, and we got the vision, and the idols are telling us, you are not going to go to Babylon. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Don't listen to other prophets. Listen to us. And they were lying and cheating. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 9.
For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain.
Now here is saying, your divinations and your soothsayers and your dreamers are going to say it's not going to happen, but the word of God says it's going to happen. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to 15. Yeah.
For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country.
This was the situation about the Israeli people. And God says, your shepherds are not there. They are not feeding you. They are not concerned about you. They are telling you lies. They are having dreams. And they are worshiping the idols. But God says, I am going to send another shepherd. Do you know the Bible in the St. John's chapter 10? Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And I give my life for my sheep. And because he knew what the Zechariah is saying, he knew what the Ezekiel is saying, Jeremiah is saying, they are looking for the good shepherd. God says, I'm going to destroy all these bad shepherds. I'm going to destroy all these enemies, and I am going to be your shepherd. And Jesus Christ proved it to those people. He says, those people are hired people. They win. The lion or tiger or wolf comes, they keep the sheep and they run away. But I will give my life for my sheep. And Jesus Christ did it. So the word of God is saying, this is what the good shepherd does. Okay, let's go back to Zechariah chapter 10, starting from verse 3.
Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together.
Now he says in the verse 3, God is going to punish this, the bad shepherds and everyone who is the enemies. And he says, but the Israeli people, he will make them goodly horses in a battle. Now some other places said not goodly, but the royal horses for the battle. Do you know? Ordinary horses, you ride on them, they are not that strong. But the people are keep their battle horses strong and healthy and very in good health. Do you know today's this horses running for the race? Those horses are strong and healthy, and their prices are what? Millions. So here he's saying, I am going to make you good looking horses of Israel, like you are ready for the battle. Now the Israeli people were defeated, but now he's saying, I'm going to make you as the good horse. And then the verse 4, he says, out of him comes forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him battle bow, out of him every oppressor will be destroyed together. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. They rejected the cornerstone, but he says Jesus Christ will be the cornerstone. He will be the one who is going to build the temple in the millennium. And he is the one who is going to, the word of God says, he was nailed to the cross. And what happened, most of the people were nailed to the cross when they came and says, okay, tomorrow is the Sabbath. Let's see if somebody is not dead. We are going to break their legs and kill them and bury them. But they came to Jesus Christ. He was already dead. And they could not break his bones. So the prophecy was fulfilled. The point I'm making, those people's nail, nobody take it out. These nails will be going with them in a burial. But Jesus' nails were taken it out. And then he was taken out of the cross and wrapped with spices, 100 pounds, and then put it in a burial. And third day he rose again. So that nail was taken out, he says. And so the each and every word is talking about Jesus Christ is the one going to victorious, and he is the one going to defeat all your enemies. Go back to the Zechariah chapter 10, starting from verse 5.
And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded.
So he's saying when Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords fighting for them, and the Israeli people will be happy, they don't have to use the weapons. He said you can use the slingshot and they will be defeated. All the people coming in the horses and chariots and everything, but they will all be defeated. And the word of God says some of the horsemen will be blinded and some of the horses will be blinded and some of the people will be crazy running and killing each other. And that's the kind of things are going to happen in the time of Armageddon or time of war when Jesus Christ is coming and fighting with those people. Okay, verse 6.
And I will strengthen the house of Judah and I will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God and will hear them.
See, they said, now I'm going to be having forgetting and forgiving all these people. You remember we learned that I'm going to make a new covenant and I'll forgive their sins and I'll remember their sins no more. So he says it will happen like it's nothing happened. I never kicked them out. They never went to exile. And I will love them just like they never committed sin. This is the same thing we do in our church. If somebody left the church for some reason and went there and say, oh, Pastor Peter, can I come back? I say, come back. And when they come back, we treat them like they never left. That's what the word of God is saying. You have to forgive and forget. Don't keep the grudge. So God says, I will be loving you like you never committed any sin. Okay, verse 7.
And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord.
The time will come, the children and the adults and everyone will be rejoicing. All the sadness and gloominess will be gone because there will be prosperity. There will be enough food. There will be enough drink. There will be enough everything and nothing lacking. David says, Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. So God is going to be their shepherd. And God is going to take care of them and they will not have any lacking. Okay, verse 8.
I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased.
Now here he's saying, up to now he says, come unto me, O heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But at that time, nobody was listening. St. John chapter 1, verse 11, he says, he went to his own, and they did not receive him. They rejected him. And so the word of God is saying, they rejected him, but the time is coming. I'll give two verses. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 26.
And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly.
What is he saying? He just whistled, and all the people start running towards him. He doesn't have to take some kind of weapon to beat them up to come by force. He said, I'll just whistle. And all the nations, all the people, all around the world, all Israeli people will be running to Jerusalem. You know how to force them to come. And then he says, they shall increase as they have increased before. Means they start increasing. So here the word of God is saying, the time will come. Israeli people will be coming to him like a flock. He says, your increase will be so much like an increase before. What happened? In Egypt, they were growing. They were growing so fast, so the Egypt people started scared about these people. They said, kill them. Throw them in the river. Do something. But God was gracious to those, what do you call, the nurses. He said, hey, don't kill them. So they didn't kill them. The Pharaoh's people say, hey, why are you not killing? He said, oh, they're not like Egyptian ladies. The Israeli ladies are strong and healthy. Before we go, they delivered. So we cannot kill these children. And so they were increasing so much. So God says, that's the same way I'm going to increase your people just like they were increasing before. And they will be just like flock coming out of animals. Animals, they grow so fast. People, once a year, they will have children. But the sheep and goats, every 6 months or every 4 months, they will have babies. So he said, you will have like a flocks of people. Israeli people will be growing. Go back to the Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9. 9 or 10.
I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them.
Now, place will not be found for them. What does it mean? There will be so many people and they will be not having enough room. Is it happening now? Yes. They don't have room to stay, so they are building some houses, and people from Hamas and Muslim people say, oh, don't build the houses. And they are complaining to America. And America say, don't build the houses. Here the word of God says, they have to have room. So more people has to come. And so they should be building more houses because there will be no room. And that's right now is happening. Verse 11.
And he shall pass through the sea with affliction and shall smite the waves in the sea. And all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away.
Can you imagine? This is already fulfilled. Scepter of Egypt will be passed away. Scepter means what? The king of Egypt. Up to now, there was a king in Egypt. Now, there is no king in Egypt. Then they will be, what happened? A Muslim brotherhood took it, and the Muslim brotherhood lost it. And now there is another person doing it, but he's not a king. So this is what's going to happen to Egypt and Syria. Syria's, when the Assad's father was there, he was like an iron man. He destroyed thousands of people. And his sons are saying, I'm going to do the same thing. So all of this prophecy is fulfilled. Verse 12.
And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord.
And now he says, what's going to happen to my people? They will not be afraid of anybody. They will walk back and forth like a king's kid, and nobody will destroy them. Because now, siren comes, everybody has to run to the shelter. But the time will come, they will walk freely here and there, and nothing will bother them. Micah chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, and we are going to stop there.
But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
They will be not afraid of anybody. They will have their own gardens and all houses and everything, and they will be not afraid to walk. They will be walking freely up and down all the streets, children and everybody, and nobody can destroy them. And that's what they are looking for, the timing. Thank God, the word of God says, when we are the children of God, we are the children of the king, and we should not be afraid of anybody. Do you know the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but he has given us the power, love, and sound mind. We should not be afraid of anyone. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And we are the king's kids. We are going to follow you. We are not going to be afraid of enemy. You said the enemy will be under your feet. So Lord Jesus, give the children of Israel as well as the children of God grace to keep their head high. Because your word says that Jesus Christ is coming soon. He says, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, to follow you. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. We know the truth. Your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Without Jesus, there is no truth. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Let the eyes of Israeli people be open. Let them call upon Jesus. And let the Christian people minister to those people. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, to follow you. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.